Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This is The Burt Show.
Here's how I feel like this is going to roll out, much like a movie. He's got himself a best friend that he has clearly fallen in love with, but he's reluctant to tell her because the friendship means so much to him. So he stays in this friendship, but every day his heart and his soul wants to go to the next level, but he hides it and he hides it and hides it until he can't anymore. He tells his girlfriend, or his girl that's a friend, best friend, I think I love you. I think I love you. At first, she's taken aback.
Mm-hmm.
The relationship has been compromised. Oh my God, I didn't even see you like this. But then she starts to realize when she opens up her heart that, oh my God.
He's been the one all along.
The whole time. That's how it's going to play out. That's how it's going to play out. Brandon. That is how it's going to play out for you over the next couple of days. That is my prediction.
I hope so.
Don't sound confident now.
All right, so Brandon, what's going on here? You got a best friend. You have fallen in love with her or him, and you need to tell them.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a her.
Okay. Give us the deets, man.
Okay, so we met probably about 9 years ago. For one reason or another, we've came in and out of each other's lives, but every time that we get back together, we pick up right where we left off. A couple of years ago, she came back into my life again. I got her a job with me at a place where I'm a production manager, and she's been there ever since. She's an incredible employee. I get to see her every day now, and our friendship's only gotten stronger. I was in a toxic relationship with my kid's mom for about 13, 14 years off and on. She's been with a couple of guys. None of them were treated her right. They don't deserve her. She still kind of has a guy that comes around here and there, but he shouldn't have her. He's not good enough for her. I probably am not either, but, you know, I love her to death, so.
So I want to read just a little bit from the email Brandon had sent us.
Yeah.
She's the most incredible woman in the world to me. She's a single mom of two boys that works very hard to take care of, and she is the most authentic person I've ever met. She is so handy. She builds furniture and sheds. She's an artist, a creator, an adventurer. She is so honest and has been hurt so much in her life, but yet she is the most deserving of happiness of any person I've ever met. She's always been there for me, and I would absolutely do anything for this woman. I want to protect her and show her every day that she is loved. I'm just not sure she will give me the opportunity to be more than just her friend. But if she does, she will never regret it.
Brandon, there has never, ever been anything romantic between you and she in almost the decade that you guys have known each other?
Well, we've had some moments here and there where, you know, you can feel it. And the people at work see it, and I feel it. But there's always been something in the way, whether it's, you know, like I said, my toxic relationship or her feelings for this other guy, or just the, you know, the awkwardness of being friends for so long, and then how do you transition from that? But we've never kissed. We've never done anything more than that. But it's there's energy there.
Okay. So what are you coming to us for today? Like the words to use? What advice? How can we help you?
Part of the reason is just coming on the show is letting you guys, or you guys letting me come on here and tell her she's a fan of the show. She doesn't watch it live. We're out here on the West Coast, so she won't see this for, you know, a few hours, maybe later today or tomorrow. But I'm hoping that she does see it and hears this. And, you know, it's hard for me to tell her in person. It just makes me nervous. And I just want your help letting her know.
I didn't know we were going this route. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's so sweet that you are so overcome with your emotion for her, you can't tell her in person. However, coming on a nationally syndicated radio morning show and professing your love for her, you're totally okay with doing that.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but, you know, I'm a weird kind of guy.
Like, no, you're not.
This is Sleepless in Nevada. This is what this is? Wow. All right, so you know she listens every day. Are you in Reno?
Carson City.
Carson City. Those are close, right?
Yes, about 30 minutes away.
Okay. So we're on a station in Reno. So she watches every day. So you know at some point or another today, she will absolutely be listening and watching this.
I absolutely intend on basically getting her to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, what you need to do, Rebecca, when we're uploading all of our podcast segments, put Melissa. This segment is just for you from Brandon.
Oh, I like that.
So romantic.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Fine, yeah.
That needs to be the title. Melissa, this segment is just for you from Brandon.
Oh, dude, this is awesome. All right, Brandon, so let's do this. I did really have no idea we were going this route. So she's going to be watching or she's going to be listening. This is your pitch to her through us. So give it your best 30-second pitch to her, like you're talking right to her, man. Forget we're even here.
Sure. Melissa, you're the best person I've ever met. You've always been there for me. You know how I feel about you. I try to show you every day. You know I'd do anything for you. I think I'm the right guy for you. I will always be there. I will never make you forget it if you give me the opportunity. I love you very much.
Dude, I mean, my parts move, bro.
Come on, man.
My heart
that's
is
gotta
like
work.
So good.
This is singing.
So sweet.
All right, Brandon. We got to check back with you tomorrow. Find out what's going on, man.
Uh huh.
So you have any idea what time she might be watching today,
or if Melissa's?
She won't be awake for probably 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, it's still early for you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if Melissa is such a big fan and she's a P1 of the show, she knows how the show works. What if we had her on this time tomorrow to give a message to Brandon and whether or not she accepts his proposal?
Ooh, that's risky.
That's up to Brandon. That sounds great for us. That's
I know it does.
Risky for you, Brandon. Would you go that route or would you rather do this something a little bit safer off the air?
I'd be okay with that, but I don't think she's going to be awake at 5 o'clock in the morning our time, period. She's not a morning person.
Okay. Look, he's already thinking of her in her beauty sleep.
Right? Fair enough.
He knows her so well.
I'm just being honest. She's just not a morning person. She's always late, but worth the wait.
Hey, boy, got balls for me.
Dude, you are on fire.
Yes,
you are on fire.
All right, Brandon, we're uploading this today, this special message just for Melissa, and it's your responsibility to hit us back up this time tomorrow and let us know how it was received, okay?
Okay, yeah, I can agree to that, no problem. And, hey, thank you, Bert. Congratulations on your nomination. I saw that on the internet yesterday. So
thank you. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Such a nice guy.
Appreciate it. I know you are. Look, if it doesn't work out with you and her, I'm available, bro. You sound like a great guy. Yeah, I don't even want to start the show until this time tomorrow because I'm going to be so excited to hear how it went. All right, Brandon, good luck today, my friend.
Good luck, fam.
Thank you.
Dude, that's cool. That's really cool.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so invested.
I haven't had one of those in a long time.
I had no idea
we were going that route.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, so I have heard through the grapevine that a girl of a friend of mine is doing something that I think is really kind of dangerous. I understand why she's doing it because of past history, but I think she is putting herself and she is putting the dudes that she is going out with in danger. Okay? So she has a history, an odd history, of dating guys that have an aggressive behavior. Like, not violent necessarily, just jealous, toxic, possessive dudes.
Okay.
And she can't really understand why it's happening, but it's happening so often that it is sort of, for whatever reason, her type. Now, you don't know this when you go into the relationship, but she finds out, and all of them have like the same thing in common where they are just overly protective, aggressive, and jealous. And it has gotten to a point, and it's gotten so serious in some of these relationships that she is really gun shy, that she just doesn't have the right antenna to be able to identify it anymore. So her way of handling it now is on a first or second date when she's out with the dude, she will purposely flirt with other guys to see what his reaction is going to be to the guy and to her while they are out.
That feels so dangerous
to me.
I don't think it's a really healthy way to kick off a relationship either.
Now, I know where she's coming from.
I get it.
I can see where she's coming from. She's got some baggage here. So her idea is, look, let me kind of test this guy without him even being known, without him knowing that he's being tested. And at least I can save myself time in the long run.
Well, I don't even see what the win would be there, because like you're hoping that the guy would just not care and that would be him passing the test if he kind of just was like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, just sit with him in traffic for like an hour and see what happens. That to me is the better option.
Yeah, I don't know. Now that you mention it, you are kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you don't do anything about it at all, maybe she's going to, I think, and again, I don't know her, that if you're going to err here, she would rather you err on the side of not doing anything at all and just taking the high road. I don't think she's going to interpret that as, oh, this guy doesn't have any nads at all. She just wants to make sure he's not going to be super aggressive with these dudes.
To me, it's like a lose-lose situation because you flirt with him and then he gets in his mind, oh, she's not a loyal gal. And so, like, for all she knows, he could have some kind of litmus test for testing out the women in his life to see if they're loyal. And then if he is a hothead, well, then you find out that he has anger issues. I just feel like there needs to be a better test.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know how you win.
As I was looking at Cassie, I was interpreting your look like, I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. If she knows that she has a trend of always getting this kind of guy, I think this is a great way to like have them pass the litmus test. I mean, if she's flirting with somebody else in public and based on their reaction, it doesn't hurt anybody. And, you know, like you're going to find out sooner or later. So if she's in a long-term relationship with this guy and then she's like, oh my God, some guy hit on me today and he pops his lid and blows his lid and gets mad at her, I think it's a great way to weed out people early on.
Well, there's a risk here also. Like, if I'm the dude on the date and she's using this as her litmus test and I don't know that, so disrespectful to me.
Yeah.
I don't want to hang out again.
It's not the test for me. Like, you are hurting somebody. You're being disrespectful to the person you're on a date with. If I'm on a date with a guy and he's actively flirting with other women, I'm hurt.
I'm pissed.
I feel like
I just disrespected.
Most solid guys, I feel like in a situation like that, would handle it that way, where they wouldn't say anything in the moment, but in the back of my mind, I know I'm never calling you again.
Right.
Like, it's sincere.
What if it's not like outright flirting so much as just an interaction, a prolonged interaction with one other man?
Like somebody just being like having a kind conversation with somebody.
Because that would be, so I can see your point of view. And yeah, putting myself in those shoes, you're right. I would feel the same way. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I almost swore. But I think also if it's the kind of person who's going to get angry quickly, if you're like, if you're getting coffee and the barista's male and you just have a really nice smiley conversation that's not flirty and they get annoyed at that, that's the red flag.
That's a really good point. Because dudes that I know that are really jealous and possessive will see any interaction between her and him as an opportunity to be jealous. So if it's a quote unquote innocent conversation about whatever and he's still upset about that, then I think you're spot on. Hey, Tracy, thank you for calling. I love when you guys call when I don't give out the phone number. 1-855-BIRTHSHOW. What's up?
Oh, that's so funny. Good morning. Yes, I know the phone number by heart. So I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, but it seems to me like she needs that attention. And of course, it is a red flag when someone is aggressive or overly protective, but it's almost like she needs that validation to feel secure with someone. But I don't understand why you would ever put any man in that situation where he has to, you know, feel bad about himself. You're flirting with someone else on the first or second date. That's an awful feeling.
Yeah.
She's a huge red flag.
Yeah, I feel like she's spending a lot of time focusing on the dude's reaction and not focusing enough time on why she seems to be picking the same type of guy that has the same problem over and over and over again.
Bingo.
Boom.
This is The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
So I have a little update on that Beatles AI story. If you missed it in the 7 a.m. e-buzz, basically Paul McCartney talked about how they're coming out with the last Beatles track ever. And they're using AI technology to pull an old demo from John Lennon to make it happen. But there was one thing that hasn't been specified in all the reports and articles that I've seen, and it's whether or not George Harrison, who's passed on, is going to be in on it. And while I didn't get explicit details on whether or not that's actually happening, I did find a little piece of Beatles gossip. So apparently back in 95, when they were working on the Beatles anthology, all three of them, the surviving members, did a recording in an attempt to make this happen. But apparently George Harrison was the only one that didn't want to put out the song. So it's not clear as to whether or not he totally refused to record it, but it's because of him that this song didn't even happen in the first place. So it's kind of interesting that now that he's passed, Paul McCartney's like, let's make it happen.
Yeah, and there's another thing too, like depending on when, because this is a John Lennon song, correct?
Yes, it was. The original demo was written and performed by him.
Okay, so was it, and I got so many other questions that are going, because I'm a huge Beatles fan. Did he write this when he was with the Beatles, or did he write this when he was in his solo career? And if he wrote this as when he was in his solo career, did he want the Beatles even to be on it?
Oh, see, as a non-Beatles fan, these are questions I don't have answers to.
Yeah, so, and the fact that, I mean, God, I remember, like, I cried the day that George Harrison died. It's one of those, like, you know, there's certain people, like, you remember exactly where you were and what you did, and I remembered where I was living at the time, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and I sat on my deck, and I just kind of let the sun hit my face, and, you know, just kind of thanked him for all the beautiful music that he had given us over the years. So, yeah, if George was against it, then you can't put George on it.
Yeah.
And so, then it's not a Beatles track.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So when it comes out, we'll have to take a close listen to it. Okay, Twitter's in this huge lawsuit. They're facing a $250 million lawsuit from music publishers. This is all happening because Twitter hasn't been super strict with people posting music that they don't have the license to use. Basically, the suit says that by allowing users to post music to Twitter without permission, the company has violated copyright law. So if you've heard like a leaked song on Twitter, you're a part of this.
Yeah, so we're going through the same thing with this show here. There was a time where artists wanted you to play their music, right? They thought it was great promotion. But, you know, the world has changed. Digitally, they're not getting paid nearly as much anymore, and they own their own content. So we can't play a lot of music on the show anymore for the same fear that we'll get sued by Twitter. Now, on the radio, you're good because we've got some... We pay for the rights to most of these songs, all of the songs, but the podcast is different. It's really different. We don't have that same right. So we got to be really careful now what we share music-wise on the radio show compared to what we do on the podcast. And it's the same show, making it very challenging.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be listening back to the e-buzz just to like take notes for myself to see how I can get better. And there will be like a gap, and I'll be like, did I black out during that segment? Did we not play the clip that I thought that we had? But yeah, it's going to be really expensive.
As an artist, I genuinely don't understand this, especially if you are still like waiting for your breaking moment. I would want everyone everywhere to play my music any opportunity they got a chance.
I mean, isn't that how some people now get huge on TikTok when their songs go viral?
A lot of people break that way.
So if you have a song, if I understand it right, if you have a song that you play on TikTok and you own that content, it is illegal for us to play it on our podcast if we don't get permission.
Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
It is, but it wouldn't, if you uploaded the song on TikTok and made it a sound, it would not be illegal for us to use the sound on TikTok.
Behind the scenes, this has been really maddening for me.
I am now a copyright lawyer.
It's been very, very frustrating.
The internet is the wild, wild west, man.
Kristen said it best a couple of weeks ago. What'd you say?
We're an audio company, and we work in the audio, audio medium. We can't play audio.
Okay, Kevin Costner is asking the courts to force his estranged wife out of their home. So this is so messy. So she's the one that actually filed for a divorce on May 1st. And according to her and Kevin's prenup agreement, she had 30 days to get out of the home. That's what TMZ is saying. So it's been well over 30 days at this point, and she hasn't left the house. Which I looked up photos. It's a $145 million compound on the coast. Don't blame her, but she is the one that filed for divorce. And so he's like, I gave her $1 million to get out and find another place. She needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I can imagine. I've heard that this was a total blindside move on her part. So if your wife does that to you and then won't leave the home, I don't blame him for being peeved.
But I mean, it's $150 plus million home or whatever it is. surely it's big enough that they... He hasn't seen her in 30 days.
They're miles apart.
It doesn't matter, I'm guessing. If they hate each other that much, if she's anywhere in the house, even if he can't see her, he doesn't want her there and he feels her.
He feels her presence.
Tom Holland is firing back at the press for coming at him for his 1 year break from acting. I'll tell you why he thinks they're out to get him on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
This is The Burt Show.
She is slipping her daughter some cash, her adult daughter some cash, and her husband's got no idea. And now she's worried the daughter might accidentally out her. So is she wrong for going behind her husband's back? Is she wrong for even giving her adult daughter the money to begin with? Like, Abby, if you needed some money, or if you didn't even need some money, could you see your parents, like, hooking you up with a little cash, or one of your parents hooking you up with a little cash, even as an adult?
I think it kind of depends on the situation. Like, if I was like, ooh, I want a new pair of sneakers, you're not going to Venmo me like $100. No. But if I was really like, if I had some damage to my car, they would set up a plan for me to pay them back.
I think I'm a little old school here in this area. And it does depend on the situation for sure. But is the child capable of getting the money themselves? Is there a reason why they can't financially support themselves right now? Because I do think that, as a general rule, I am speaking and really watching my words carefully. As a general rule, I think that nowadays parents want to... They feel like taking care of their kids is the best action. Whereas I also feel there it's equally important to make your kids, even if they're adult kids, figure crap out for themselves and work through those times to build grit and to get through those stressful times. And you just can't be there for your kid. I think the best way to be there for your kid in the long run sometimes is to not be there for them in the short term.
I think it depends on your relationship with your kid too. Like, I can tell you right now, well into my career, 37 years old, if I called up my mom and dad and said, can I borrow some money? If they had, like, if they, I don't know what their finances are, I assume they're fine, but they would hands down loan me the cash. There would be questions, why do you need it? What happened? Are you okay? What's going on? But if I was like, man, just things went south, things are bad, I need some cash, can you infuse me for a while? They would do it.
But I would also look at, like you said, it's individual. It's case by case, child by child. You have like three jobs, right? You're doing this. You're working for the podcast company, Pioneer also. You've got two kids. Your parents know you're not just like not doing anything to support yourself.
Mm-hmm. You're the furthest thing from a slacker.
Right. And they also know that you would only come to them if it was your last resort. What I feel like, what I see now, is kids going to their parents as their first resort without trying to figure it out themselves. And parents lifting them up and doing all the work for them.
That blows my mind, because you're right. I would only go to my parents as my last resort, and the shame I would feel, I would figure out every single way to get that cash before I even ever ask them or approach them. If I'm asking them for money, like, stuff's about to go down and I'm about to lose my house or something.
Oh, I had no issue going to my dad. In my early 20s, I racked up some significant credit card debt, and it just happened. So, I was in a very fortunate position that I had the Bank of Dad. So I went to the Bank of Dad, and it, great interest rates, zero. And but I paid every single penny back. Like, sure. That was the plan. So yeah, he gave me the money. So I paid off my credit card, and then it took me a couple of years, but every single month I would send him a check, and then I paid it off.
I will use myself and my son as an example, who is in college right now. I pay for his tuition. I pay for his books. He gets two meals a day that I pay for also. But I don't give him any spending cash. He's got plenty of time in the middle of the day after his studies that if he wants to get a job and he wants to work and he wants other things, he can do that. My knee-jerk reaction is to help him out and make it as easy as possible, but I have really backed away from that. And if dude wants extra things, he's got to earn extra things.
All right, so here's the email. Hello, Burt Show. I'm a stay-at-home mom and found your show on Facebook years ago. I'm now addicted to your podcast. You make waiting in the carpool line way more bearable. While I have two kids in elementary school, I also have an older child from a previous relationship who just graduated college. She graduated magna cum laude, and is it laude or laude?
Laude.
Laude. Thank you. Obviously, I did not graduate
or
with
laude.
That.
Or laude. I don't know. Now I don't know.
Laude.
Let me look it up. I'll get back to you.
I think it's Hakuna Matata.
She graduated Hakuna Matata.
Yep.
And I honestly couldn't be more proud of her. She found her passion early on, and that's being a teacher. She was able to land a job right out of college as a middle school social studies teacher. Again, I'm so proud of her. We all know how underappreciated and underpaid teachers are. I don't want her struggling her first year. Teachers need so many essentials in their first year that they end up paying for out of pocket. So I secretly paid her rent this month. I also plan on paying her rent next month. My husband has no idea. I'm the one in our household that pays all the bills and moves money around to our high-yield savings account and CDs. She's visiting this weekend, and I'm worried she's going to thank us for helping her out. Of course, her stepdad will be shocked because he has no idea I've done this. I don't want to tell him because I did this behind his back. The reason I did it behind his back is because he's a frugal, tough love kind of man. I knew he wouldn't do it, thinking her doing it on her own would be more beneficial than us helping her. And I don't want to tell her not to say anything because I don't want her to feel bad or awkward for taking the money. Help. I'm just a mom trying to help her daughter get a leg up.
So this feels very familiar. Because that's what I did with my son Hayden when he was in school also. First year I paid for extra stuff also. Okay, now he's got it down. He understands what college is all about. Second year, my man. Okay, when you want extra cash, you're on your own. So in this case, I think I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
Teacher, very first year. Probably might not have even realized that she needed to spend her own money on supplies also. So I think that first year I would help out. But at that point, she's got to fly.
I think I would do the same thing. This situation does kind of remind me of my household because even to this day, I think my parents would help me if I really needed it, mm-hmm. not just to get something. But I know my mom would just help, whereas my dad would have like 473 questions, a payment plan. It would be a whole different thing. So I would help if I'm in this situation, but I would try to find a way to help to where I don't have to keep it from dad.
Yeah, I don't want to punish a parent for going from like the goodness of their heart wanting to help out their kid. And it's not like it was some kind of frivolous like, oh, honey, here's a check. Like, go spend some money on whatever you want. It was genuinely coming from a good place of like, you know what? Rent's on me this month, even though it wasn't like she didn't come forthcoming and said it was me. But I still think it was a sweet thing.
But what does she do?
I wonder if this is even more layered because this is a stepdad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. And she's a stay-at-home mom.
I would follow your heart here. I'd help her out the first year, but I wouldn't hide it from him. I'd get through that tension.
So you just got to tell him.
Yep. I think you just got to tell him, yeah. And then do your thing for a year. And then I think you got to make a deal with your daughter going, okay, so I'm helping you out now, but how are we going to evolve on from this? Because I can't do it your whole life. It's a Bert Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount code Abby.
This is The Bert Show.
So it was a homework assignment for our intern because she's just now starting to dabble in dating apps. And Abby here was going to make sure she did it the right way.
Yep, I gave her a list of do's and don'ts. Kiara, I gave you the assignment to make sure that your profile was looking sparkly and shiny and wonderful, and we were going to get you all those men out there. So now are we going to find out if you've done it well?
Yes, we are. So,
well, really quick, what we're doing here?
Can we establish what the quick do's and don'ts were of the profile, the profile she was creating for the very first time?
Yes. So I had a list of 5 do's and a list of 5 don'ts. So the don't was you don't want to put a group photo as your profile picture because it's confusing. Guys are like, which one is she? I don't know. And then the second one is you don't want to put too many filtered pictures because it just sets up false expectations. The third, don't post too many thirst traps. The fourth was don't trauma dump. Don't say what you're not looking for because it just sounds bitter. And the fifth don't was don't be too vague. And the things that you do want to do, have a good, clear profile picture. You do want to show your body a little bit. Guys are a little shallow, just like women. It's okay. We can admit it. And the last three were show your interest in your pics so they have something to comment on. You also want to appeal to the male ego with your do's and let them know what you are looking for. And the last one was you want to talk about your niche interests. Like if you're really into hairless cats, let them know because then they can cling on to that and you too will now have a conversation starter.
As I am looking initially here, Kiara, on your profile, I think you nailed it. Every piece of advice she gave you, you used in an awesome way. So if what Abby is telling you is the truth, this you should be getting his left and right.
Yeah, you're going to be wifed up in no time. Like I'm telling you, I give it 60 days. If you don't have a boyfriend in 2 months, there's something wrong with men. It ain't you.
Now, as the one that gave her all of the do's and don'ts and you're perusing her first ever online dating profile, what's the one thing that stands out to you the most?
I really love that you utilized Hinge's poll option. I think that's really fun because sometimes it's hard to come up with like a clever response. Like you see something and you know you want to comment on it. Like if somebody says, I love hairless cats, like you want to be like, ah, yes, me too. But you don't really know what to say. With the poll option, what Kiara has done is she said, pick the best one. And there's 3 options. There's the amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, or Tom Holland Spider-Man. So all he has to do is just click a little button, and now you guys can have a debate on what the best Spider-Man is.
You got to program like guys are cavemen.
Just click button. That's it.
And add comment.
One choice, click button. Even comment is too advanced.
All right, so Kiara, as you're putting this together, be honest. 1, how long did it take you? And 2, which was the hardest photo for you to put up there?
Okay, so it didn't take that long. It took about like 10 minutes, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Like,
did you all that?
Well, to choose the pictures, it took me about an hour. So, like, okay. Let's be honest. The hardest picture for me to put up there was my beach picture because I didn't want to, like, show too much, but I didn't want to, like, not show enough. So, it's like, I think I chose a perfect one because my friends were like, oh, my God, it's so great. And I was like, yeah.
I want to get Mo's take on this because Mo is single-ish, and I want to get Romeo in here also. So, if you're on an app and you're taking a look at this profile and you don't know, Kiara, what are you thinking?
I think this is great, actually. I really do. I mean, I think the majority of men, as we know, are just going to look at the pictures, and that's all they're going to care about. But I think you have a good range of pictures. You show a lot of different sides of your personality and character in the pictures. And I also like the fact that you were detailed enough to show what your hobbies are, but you made it easy to read. Because most men are not going to sit there and read a whole paragraph. But I would read all of this because it's quick, it's to the point, and I feel like I'd somewhat get a good picture of who you are if I were to go on a date with you.
I feel like you picked like the perfect pictures because, I mean, you and I haven't spent a whole bunch of time together, but these pictures make you, and you are, very approachable.
Oh, thank you.
You just, your smile is sweet and genuine, and you seem approachable. There is nothing like overtly like, look at me, I'm looking for attention pictures, which can be a turnoff also.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, they're all adorable.
Thank you.
They're all adorable. Romeo, what do you think? Dude, you're on these. What do you think?
Yeah, no, they're great photos.
Surprised you have something nice to say, you know.
No, I do like that she did take the advice of the no photos with friends because that bothers me so much, especially if your friend is hotter than you. Like, I don't want, I'm not going to... I am not it's going true. To swipe it's on true. You because then I know I have the hots for your friend too. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm glad that you did that.
That's
and
keeping it real.
That's yeah. a very valid point,
that's
man.
Keeping it real. And yeah, you're programming against yourself if you're yes. putting yourself.
You really are. Like,
yeah, if you're gonna choose a friend, pick the ugly one.
Seriously.
So now ladies know that if you're in a group picture, right, with your friend and she's using it in your profile picture, she thinks that she's way hotter than you are.
Exactly, which is why I'm in all of my friends' profiles.
I have like a PSA for guys though. Can you stop putting group pictures because I was scrolling last night and a lot of guys had a group picture and I was like, okay, but which one is it? Mm. And then it would just be multiple group pictures, so I could never like figure out which one it was. And I was like, okay, no. But there were some interesting characters. Like there was this one guy who had in his description, dating me is like crack. I was like, what am I supposed to, I kid
dating
you not.
Dating me is like crack?
And I was
like, what does that mean? You're going to lose your teeth? You're going to lose your teeth in 3 months.
I was like, drugs are bad for you. So I really didn't understand what that meant. I was like, Daniel's like, I was like, toxic. Never mind. I was like, keep going.
Smart decision.
Now, would your advice for a dude putting up a profile be the same as it was for a woman putting up a profile?
I think so, with like some minor tweaks. So like I mentioned in one of my do's was I was like, do show your body. Because I had a conversation with a friend who had read a book that kind of dove into the psychology of like what men versus women look for. Women tend to look for, like, women who are seeking out men, like, they typically look for the whole package. So they want to kind of get like a good vibe. Like, what are you into? Could I see you around my friends? They want to see your personal style. So you want to show off things like that, that paint a picture of the kind of boyfriend you would be.
Well done.
Nice
job.
Well
done.
Thank you.
Very well done.
And plus, when you get a bite, you got to let us know.
Okay. I will.
Did you post it already? It's
I
up.
Did.
It's
it
up,
is.
Ready to go. Okay.
And active.
So we will check with you in a day or two and see how many hits you got on this thing, okay?
Make sure to come back.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Tom Holland is coming at the press for talking about his 1-year-long break from acting. Earlier in the week, we talked about how Tom was so beat down by his last role in The Crowded Room. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna need a year. And so, of course, the press ate this up. And Tom has a theory as to why they were coming after him so hard. I don't even think we talked about his reviews when we brought it up. I think those other publications were coming at him for that. Mm-hmm. But we personally would just only like to make fun of him for having the privilege to take 365 days off from work.
Tommy, did you watch that?
No, but in that, he said he's 8 months into it, so that only leaves 4 months, so we'll see him soon.
I would think, you know, if you guys said, like, if you were just totally exhausted, and you said, you know what, I'm taking the next year off, I think I'd be bored out of my mind after 3 weeks.
Yeah. And it sounds to me he was doing an interview, so is it just a year off from acting in something, but he's still out there doing, like, promotional stuff and other things, just not acting in something? Yeah, I think he just wants to keep his headspace out of, like, getting into another character, because like we talked about earlier in the week, he was just so mentally drained from the place that he had to go to.
What is The Crowded Room about, by the way?
I don't know. Trauma. It looks a little, like, depressing, honestly. And I don't like to watch depressing shows.
Oh, man, I do. I'll check it out.
Oh, perfect.
I'll do, too.
Report back.
Yeah, you definitely, if you haven't had one, you definitely have a cry day coming.
Oh, that, I had one yesterday.
Yeah?
I had one the day before yesterday.
Yeah.
I had one the day before that.
It's cry week.
It's cry week.
Okay.
Crying is healthy.
But intern Kiara, you were the one to send me this clip. And are you, like, going to miss him? Like, are you hoping to see him in something soon?
I was just kind of scared because I know earlier, like, in the year, he just announced that he was, like, sober for a year. So I was like, okay, you were sober for a year now. Like, you were struggling with sobriety and you're taking a year off from acting. So I'm like, okay, where's your headspace? Because, you know, a little selfish part of me is like, okay, but when's the next Spider-Man movie coming out? And now that he said he's 8 months into his year off, like, I watch everything that comes out with him. I haven't seen The Crowded Room yet, but, like, I watched Uncharted. I plan on watching this. So I'm just like, okay, but I'm worried about you. But at the same time, like, when you come back to work.
Yeah. I think everybody, like, has that. You mentioned this the other day. Everybody has, like, one or two celebrities that no matter what the project is, you will watch it because their name is associated with it. I think it was Lawrence for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. As long as I get to see photos of him and his girlfriend Zendaya, I'm good. Know that he's alive and well. She's keeping him sane. Okay, Charlie Sheen's daughter, she corrected somebody for calling her a porn star, even though she only does OnlyFans. So, surprise, Charlie Sheen's got a daughter out in the world. And I thought this was kind of an interesting debate because she was on her TikTok and she
responded to a comment that labeled her a porn star, and she's like, no, there's a difference. I do OnlyFans. The difference is she doesn't film herself actually doing the acts with somebody else. Not that she judges anybody that does it, but she says that there's a difference for her, that it's not the same.
She said that she is a sex worker.
A sex worker, but not a porn star.
Okay.
What's the difference?
So what is she doing on OnlyFans, which apparently now is OF because OnlyFans is too long to pronounce.
Oh, just OF.
Yeah, it's OF. So what is she doing on OnlyFans that makes her a sex worker yet not a porn actress?
I would assume, because she didn't go into details, I would assume it would be a solo performance.
Ah, okay.
Oh,
gotcha.
She says that she doesn't bring anybody else into the room, and it's not her having the actual act of piano playing. So it would just be a solo webcam video for her oaf.
Got it.
now we know.
I actually for a second there had I was feeling bad for Charlie Sheen because I was just thinking, as any father, even though he had a crazy background,
mm-hmm.
knowing that your daughter is doing that online, either for sex or by herself, this may sound judgmental, it would tear me up as a dad.
I don't think any parent, regardless of their gender, and any child, regardless of their gender, I think a parent's going to feel that way.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like I would feel bad for most people, but I don't feel bad for Charlie Sheen.
Just as a dad, from a dad to a dad, maybe.
But I get it.
By the way, Mo, we have to add it to our must-watch list, thanks to Abby. The Crowded Room. In Manhattan, in the summer of 1979, a young man is arrested for a shocking crime, and an unlikely investigator must solve the mystery behind it before the true criminal strikes again.
Oh, you got me.
Yeah, that sounds too depressing for me. For more stories, head to thebirdshow.com. Click eBuzz.
Hey, The Bird Show. Look, having any stressful conversation with your mom, woo, the anxiety can ping, right? Knowing that you're going to go to your mom and say, hey, mom, I know you're messing around on dad and you got to stop it. Oh, makes my butt pucker.
Among other things.
Yeah.
All the things pucker.
But that's exactly what happened. And today is follow-up Thursday. And you guys remind us of Bird Show storylines that we haven't had, that we haven't closed up. And Jackie West said, Bert, last summer, you had a woman named Mary who had called her mom when she was supposed to be on a girls' trip. Before the call disconnected, she heard her mom fooling around with another man. Did Mary ever tell her dad? From Jackie.
So this has been almost a year, just a little over a year to the date. We heard from Mary last June. Mary called her mom while she was supposedly on a girls' trip. Before the call could end, oh, I remember this. She heard her mom speaking to a man in the background. She continued to listen until she heard what she suspected was her mom being intimate with another man that was not her father.
Yeah. There's only one thing grosser than hearing your parents having sex, and that's hearing your mom having sex with another man that's not your dad.
Yeah. That wins. When her mom returned from her trip, she confronted her. She told her everything she heard, and her mom was upset. She told her not to mention anything to her father. She wanted to say that she was having problems with her father, and the rest wasn't her business. Mary was still conflicted about what to do after speaking to her mom. Did she ever tell her pops what was going on?
I'm trying to remember what our advice was at the time also. Because my knee-jerk reaction right now is, I'd stay out of it. Like, you already talked to mom, told her it's bugging you. Going to dad about it just seems explosive. They're adults. You don't know what arrangement they made or anything.
She's a grown woman. There's not much you can do. Here's the update. After a lot of internal struggle and contemplation, I made the difficult decision to stay out of my parents' marital issues completely. As much as it hurt me to hear what I did and to know about my mom's betrayal, I realized that interfering by telling my dad wouldn't necessarily solve anything. In fact, it could potentially make things worse or irreparably. Ooh, I'm struggling with that one.
You got it.
Irreparably.
There you go.
Damage their relationship. I didn't want that burden on my conscience or to be responsible for the potential collapse of my parents' marriage. For the sake of my own mental health, I decided to keep what I overheard to myself. I didn't want to involve myself further in their personal lives. I had to prioritize my own well-being and not let their issues consume me. It was a difficult choice, but I believed it was the right one. Even though it has been a while since that incident, and I want to be honest, I'm still upset and disappointed with my mom. We haven't talked about what happened since that confrontation. However, I have noticed the struggles my parents have been facing over the past year. It's evident that their relationship isn't as strong as it used to be. But here's the thing. There has been no mention of divorce either. I can't say for sure if my mom ended the affair or not. I don't have all the information, and she hasn't said anything to me about it. All I can do is hope and pray that she reconsidered her actions, felt enough shame to end whatever she was doing, and is working on repairing the damage she caused. I genuinely want my parents to get through their issues, strengthen their bond, and keep our family intact. Mm. So, that's all I have to update you on. I'll let you know if that changes.
So I can never look at my dad the same way after he told me how he screwed around on my mom and my stepmom. I can never look at him the same way. He thought, you know, I think it was like my 21st birthday, and he was like, all right, you're a man now. We can be friends, all right? We can be friends.
We can confide in each other.
Yeah, we don't need to have this father-son relationship anymore. We can be friends. So he proceeded to tell me about how many times he had screwed around on my mom, screwed around on my stepmom, how we sort of had a almost like a secret hidden life in Las Vegas. We were living in San Diego at the time. And he was showing me pictures of the woman that he was having an affair with and stuff. Yeah, my dad wasn't a good dad. but I knew he wasn't a good person, but at that moment when he shared all that with me, I could never look at him the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think to some extent as a kid, like you sort of see your parents, like you know they have flaws, but to you, they sort of seem like superheroes. They sort of seem infallible to some extent. So when that curtain gets drawn, I mean, at least for my parents, like if my dad ever came to me and was like, hey, let me tell you about the time I cheated on your mom, you do the same thing for me.
I think with... I never had any kind of ideas that my dad was a superhero ever. I just didn't know the depths of it. And I don't think it even surprised me. But just hearing the words coming out of his mouth, that's a game changer.
It's one thing to think it.
Yeah.
It's another thing to know it.
Right.
Yeah, I couldn't recover from that at all.
This is The Burt Show.
Okay, my best friend, she presented this guy that she's been seeing for 5 months with an ultimatum. Our guy friends think she's way overreacting and splitting hairs over a minor, tiny little detail in their relationship. But all the girls that I know, we think it's enough for her to end the relationship for good.
Five months?
Yeah.
An ultimatum in 5 months?
That's quick.
Okay.
Buckle up. So this is my friend that's been dating that guy who... when his parents would come into town, he would go out of his way to make sure that she wasn't at the same bar that they would frequent. He would text her and be like, hey, you're not at XYZ bar, right? And she's like, no, I'm at home. Perfect. I'm there. So are my parents. Glad you're not there. And the last time she had a conversation with him about commitment, he said that he was nervous to make her his girlfriend because his last relationship kind of blindsided him. It ended out of nowhere, and so he's really anxious about calling somebody new his girlfriend, coming into a new relationship that's committed, and, you know, because he thought he was going to marry that girl. So he has all this anxiety about calling somebody his girlfriend. So now they've been dating for 5 months, and they, for all intents and purposes, like, are in a very committed relationship. They spend 3 out of the 7 nights together. She hangs out with his friends. You know, they're basically boyfriend and girlfriend.
They've had the exclusive talk?
Well,
okay.
Here's where the ultimatum comes in.
I gotcha.
So my friend brings this up to him, and she's like, listen, we've already talked about this once. What are we? Are we boyfriend? Are we girlfriend? What's happening here? And he goes, well, we're exclusive. We're not seeing anybody else. I'm not sleeping with anybody else. I expect that of you, but you're not my girlfriend. I'm not calling you my girlfriend until I know that, or I'm like 90% sure that this is going to end in marriage. And she's like, huh?
What?
What?
Right? Okay. Right? And so when we told this to all of our guy friends, they were like, well, what's the difference? Like, you're getting all the benefits of a relationship. He's just not calling you his girlfriend. And so my friend obviously feels really insecure is the wrong word, but like she doesn't feel safe, kind of feeling like he has resistance about this. And so she's really, really falling for this guy. She's like, dude, if he breaks up with me, like I'm going to be a mess. And so she doesn't want to end things, but she's like, at some point, I need to be your girlfriend. Like, this needs to go somewhere. We've been dating since February.
There is security in knowing somebody's willing to refer to you as, like, you're exclusive and they call you boyfriend, girlfriend. Like, there's a comfort and security in that.
Yeah, it's like leveling up, like you're in Mario Kart or something, like, girlfriend status. So she's basically decided that she's going to give him a timeline. She's like, listen, I understand that you have some trauma from your past relationship. Don't want to be an a-hole about that. But at the end of the day, like, I got to be your girlfriend at some point, buddy. Like, I can't. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 10 years down the line. We're still going to be exclusive. So she basically said, you got 2 weeks, my guy. Figure it out. And if by then you don't have an answer for me, I'm out of here.
I don't quite understand where he's coming from. He's saying we're exclusive, which... their girlfriend, boyfriend. He just doesn't want to use the label.
Yeah, he doesn't want to call her his girlfriend.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's,
I mean,
a
because she's your girlfriend.
She's your girlfriend. That's what I don't get.
It's just a word at that point because you're doing all of the things that you would do in a relationship that's of a boyfriend and a girlfriend. It's at that point, it feels like it's just literally a word.
Yeah, some dudes like to leave, and some girls too, like to leave the door open just a little bit, just in case they get squirrely one night, right? But he's already said that we're exclusive. So if he messed around, he can't even say, well, we're not like,
exactly.
He can't say, well, we're not girlfriend, boyfriend, so we're free to do whatever we want. He used the word exclusive.
Dude, mm-hmm. He's damaged from that past relationship.
I know. I'm like, who hurt you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we did a deep dive and we found out who hurt him. And we're like, should we message her? Should we get her like in a therapist chair with him? Because I mean, at some point, like, I don't want to be insensitive, but like, bro, my best friend is like everything I think a guy could ever want. Lock her down. Like, I don't think he could, like, I'm gonna be honest with her, him, I don't think he could do better than her. So if I'm him, I would want to throw that label on her.
Sometimes I think you got to walk away for them to realize, like, what they just lost.
Well, you don't know what you have till it's gone.
Uh-huh.
She's already walked away from him once, and he was like, please come back, I miss you. So that's why I'm shocked that this second time around, he's not willing to put the label on it. But I don't get it.
She came back and nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
That's the problem.
There was a line in the sand, but then he kicked other sand over the line. So there's no line.
He buried it.
Exactly.
Right, he buried the line, right?
Yes.
So if she were to do this now, mm-hmm. and then he repeats his behavior and says, I miss you, she has to say, you know where my head is at. As soon as you say that we're not only exclusive, that this is girlfriend-boyfriend thing, then we're together. Then you don't have to miss me at all.
That's what I told her. I'm like, I think this ultimatum was a good thing, but some people think she's being an a-hole and making a big deal out of just a word.
It all depends really what she wants. Her value, for whatever reason, is in this word. He seems to be happy. Somebody's got to give.
He needs to give.
It's a high-stakes game going on. That's the Burt Show.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.